Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Hello, welcome along to this week's episode of the Let's Get Running podcast. How is the caramel kid?
What? I'm good. How is Sean, the white devil?
He's doing all right. He's sitting in his usual place. Whereabouts are you sitting right now?
I'm hiding out top of a broken down bus. it's the only quiet place in the garage.
Perfect. So you're part having your lunch break here, and we're recording the show, which is great.
Yeah, because Sean was grumbling. The last time I was in Costa, he said the sound quality weren't cutting it. sounds like let me break a bus.
Yeah,
and park in the garage and then hide at the top. Yeah,
perfect. But how's it going? How are you? Have you been?
I've been all right. And obviously talking about buses, so I'm on a 108 going through Blackheath, and traffic slowly building up. I was thinking, oh, this is a weird time of day for the traffic to build up. And then as I'm pulling into the bus lane, I see there's a broken down car in the bus. All right. But what was odd, it was three women pushing it. And it's like, obviously, everyone was just watching. No one was helping them. Yeah. But the women pushing it, they were middle class.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you push a car, you've got your hands on it. You're doing like the rugby scrum lean.
Yeah.
To get it going.
Yeah.
These women are like standing straight. They had their fingertips on it, and they're sort of guiding the car. And I was like, how's the car moving? And I realised, okay, it's slightly downhill.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. So the car was, like, going slowly, but they were, like, sort of, like, not putting a lot of effort in.
Yeah.
I was like, right. So I serve the stop. Obviously, they get further down the road.
Yeah.
And then, as I'm pulling out, they've tried to bump it up the curb. So the first two wheels were on the curb.
Yeah.
And the bottom two wheels were on the road still.
Yeah.
But they've still got the same technique. And I was thinking, I had to laugh out loud because I was thinking, there's no way in a million years they're going to get that up there by pushing it with their fingers.
And did they get
I was still thinking, this is when you have to cry a damsel in distress and get people to help you, you know?
But no one did. Not even that bus driver. He ain't going to stop. He's on the 108.
I had a schedule to keep, you know?
Fair enough. It's your job to hit your time, so yeah, we'll let you off that. Nice one.
So, just tell me, how's the training going and stuff?
Training's going right. So, probably the last time we recorded, this is the Project 220 show. It's talking about my training, see if we can draw any lessons from my training up to Frankfurt Marathon, if anybody has listened before. So, previously, last fortnight ago, I picked up an injury. And it was largely, I was ill, then I got an injury, and then I'm coming back to it. So you warned me off doing the Dam Tot Dam, which is a 10-mile race So I had a lot of physio. So my main problem, I've got a bit of a problem with my back. It's always been sort of bad, but it builds up suddenly, and then I tend to have a tightness in my calf, my left side. So it's usually my lower back. And if I loosen off the lower back, it usually is okay. But it got to a point where my calves were just like rock hard. So I had some physio. She looked at my back and she did a lot of work with it. And I got to a point when I could do the 10 miler. So I did this 10 miler and I probably not a good thing. I was tight on Thursday, but it eased off and I thought I'll just give it a go and see how it goes. And I ran okay. I decided I was going to run just 320 per K, which is my marathon pace. And it was perfectly fine. It wasn't easy, but it was fine, you know. And it was my first hard effort back for 3 weeks, and it was all good.
Yeah.
So I did that. It was hard on the cobbles. Anyone that's run Amsterdam, you're going to get some kind of cobbles. This kind of the way they do the bricks. You still there? Yeah. Sorry.
Then what happened?
From then, it's been fine. So I finished off. This is going to make me seem mad, but I did this 10-mile race. I did 5K warm-up. I did the race, tried to stay as relaxed as I could, and then at the end I thought, right, let's make this up to a 20-mile day. So I ran back from the race too. So I did 20 miles, and I was absolutely fine. So it was great, came to this week, and chatted to Nate, and we said, that's a great result. You know, we didn't feel too tired. I think we should carry on as if we're going to go for the 220 still. So keep going with it, keep going with the training. So
okay.
We did that. So back to this week, I had another hard, my usual, if anyone doesn't know the format, I'm doing kind of a Canova style plan, which tends to involve, I think the main taking I'm taking from it is it's not about overall mileage. It's not about, having, you know, doing loads of speed work, doing loads of quality. What it's about is like really specific sessions, and the sessions are key. Do you know what I mean? So we'll do lots of, longer runs, longer tempo runs around, up above or below marathon pace, which are really quite challenging. And those are the key part of the week. So this week I had scheduled Saturday, a hard one, which was going to be, 5x4K at marathon pace. And then on Sunday, rest day, then Monday, which is today, we're calling this the day it comes out, 40K at 3:30Ks, that's going to be probably one of my hardest runs I'll do. Really quite punchy. However, what happened was, I did this. So basically my company out here, so I organize work run clubs, run clubs for companies. Okay. I'm going to keep mentioning that.
And then, I like the way you say it's a problem. And then also you just come out of excuses rather than saying what happened.
Well, then this is what happened. So basically I did, I entered, with my team of coaches here, I entered a corporate race. So we did a race, a 10K race, on Friday night. So that obviously was going to affect my Saturday training session. So I thought, right, what am I going to do? I'll make the 10K race into a 20K session. Because I said before, it was 5x4K at marathon pace. So what I did is I ran before the race, I did 12K.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Reasonably punchy, like 3:20Ks. It was a bit hard because I was in the Amsterdam Bos, which is hard for people. That means forest. Sorry. I should just say the Amsterdam Forest. And it was difficult to pick up the GPS. So sometimes it said I was completely off and it's hard to pace, but I felt like I managed to hold the pace at about 3:20s, and I did, two sets of 5K. And then I jogged over, had half an hour with the lads to give them their numbers. Then I started the race, and it was going really well. First couple of Ks were fine.
Well, you were warmed up. Let's say you were warmed up.
Warmed up. And then I detonated about 7K. So I was with one of my coaches. So he caught me up, and he went past me, and in the last 3K, he put 30 seconds on me. So he did. It was... Basically, I struggled.
And then, well, there was no prize money and stuff, no?
Well, that was the unfortunate thing. I didn't realise what the prize was. So he won a 500 quid suit.
500 quid suit?
500 quid suit. So like, I could have...
Suit.
Yeah, from a suit company. So I basically forego... Valter, who's the coach, he wouldn't mind me saying, usually I would beat Valter, but yeah, I could have had a chance at a 500 quid suit by For the marathon cause. And I think what was interesting was actually the 30 minutes in between the session and the race didn't help me at all. Like, I think it made it harder. I think I'd have been able to hold that pace, sort of 3:20.
Well, why didn't you just do it after?
Because this race was about networking for me, right? So there's all these companies there that I had to try and be in front of. Do you know what I mean? Because then they'll see Let's Get Running and they'll think, oh, these guys are
but
great.
Why did you... So you wanted to talk to them after as well as run well?
Yeah. And because we had, you know, the prize giving, and we were the first four runners. So there was four of us ran, and we got first, second, third, and fourth. So it looked good because we were all on the getting all the prizes and stuff. I wanted to have that in terms of like, listen, I'm not going to be the Olympic marathon runner. So I got to prioritize my future earnings. And that for me, that was how I was going to do it.
So we're changing this to Project Dixon to Project Mercenary. Yeah?
You've got to get that paper. But come on.
Everyone turns in camo. Yeah. Sean turns up in Moss Bros suit because he lost a £500 suit.
So that was disappointing. And then what happened then is because obviously on the plan then it was going to be a Saturday and a Monday session. So I've got a mate called Zach who's doing the marathon with me. He's an American guy, really good runner. And I got to Sunday and I was like, I'm not quite in shape for this 40K. This is going to be a punchy session. And I turned up to meet him and he wasn't there, which is, I was thinking, oh, thank God for that. I'll do this on Monday.
Yeah, go on.
So I'll just do a couple of K just to see if I can run at 3:30 Ks. And I did a couple of K and I couldn't. Do you know what I mean? So I think, oh, I'm too tired from this race and this run. I'll give it a miss. And then Zach turns up. And so I think, oh, what do I do now?
Now you've already mentally switched off and then he turns up.
So I was about to pack. I was getting my rucksack on to cycle home and say to Molly, listen, I'm going to do it another day. So he said, come on, let's just do it. We're here together. We've put aside this time.
That sounds recipe of disaster, but go on.
Yep, so we started out and we had to start out. We basically ran what's called the Amsterdam Rhine Canal. So people who won't know that who are in England, but basically it's an absolutely straight canal that goes straight down the country and is flanked by trees, but is ostensibly just a long, long, long straight, right? So we started running that. And first of it was one of those winds that are really annoying because it's a side wind. Do you know what I mean? So it's a really strong wind, but it's side. So all the time it was either in the face or just on the face or whatever. So 18K, I got to.
So I thought you were Sean the coach runner, not Sean the weatherman. Moaning about the wind. Okay. Yeah. So you got along, you got a side wind. Yeah.
So I got the side wind. It's smashing in my face. We were running 3:45s for about 18K and things were going all right, but I felt like this was harder than it should be. Right, so we got to 18K. I said, listen, I've done 3K at the beginning. Let's turn around now. That will add up about right. Do you know what I mean? That will add up to 40K. And I got to about 22, 23, and I was absolutely treading water. And I kept going. But by the end, by the last, when I had about 5, 6K to get home, because we went out and back, so I had no other choice but to keep running.
And the last That's the worst thing to do.
I love out and backs because it's good for time, isn't it? Because like you can think,
it's good mentally because when you want to duck out and sort of think, fuck this, you can't think I've got to go back, otherwise it's a long walk.
Exactly, yeah. So it's good. It put me under pressure. So I but the last bit, I mean, Zach was fine because Zach didn't do any training the days before, so he was nice and rested. But I was on a death march. It was just, oh my God, it was hard. But we got through it.
Okay.
What I've learned was, listen to your body and don't listen to anyone else. Because if I'd have done it today, I think I'd have been fine. Second thing I learned was, with this marathon, that's the first thing. With marathon training, you've got to listen to your body. Second thing is, I learned that I'm all right on the SAS gels. I took 3 gels. They were fine. No gastro problem. They're a bit sickly, but that's great. So that's a good tick. And I was pleased at the way when I started to really detonate, I just kept going. I had one little stop when I tried to get my music to work to give me a bit of mental boost.
Mental boost. You need a mental boost. Okay,
I put my earphones in, but it ran out of battery, so that was good as well. So that was to get going again. But I think it was hard, and I think I'll be better off the back of it. So I've got a couple of days to recover now, and I think I'll have another go at the session next week.
So when I talk to you next, I don't want to be hearing, oh, I've got a bit of a cold and run down.
Just get on with it. Yeah, I reckon now I'm back on. I mean, I should be a bit, my doorbell's ringing, I should be a bit less hard on myself because, you know, I've only just come back from these injury and this cold. I'm not going to be at top shape.
Yeah.
But I think those two sessions will
give you confidence.
Not necessarily confidence because I ran badly in both of them, but what it'll do is I think I'll come off the back of those stronger. And I think this week's going to be a key week.
Yeah. Well, like you said, confidence knowing when you detonate, you can still do it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And I can
still at least you know if you're running, you blow up, okay, you think it won't be that bad.
Yeah.
You won't be at the side of the road like Paula, shitting yourself. you think you can do it, you're fine.
Yeah, exactly. So that was good. That was good. I was pleased about that. But in all, we're going to have a little bit of a review of how things are going now. And I think there's a couple of things kind of that I've learned and about this particular marathon cycle. The first thing is you need to do the other things are important. So if you're going to commit to a really tough challenge in time like this, you've got to basically do the extra bit. So you've got to do the stretching, you've got to do the mobility, you have to think about your diet. You can't, I certainly, in the middle, when I got ill, I wasn't sleeping as well as I could do. And because I was busy with my life,
This is where you have to be selfish. This is where selfish comes in.
Yeah, you've got to be selfish. And I know, and we talked at the live show about can you be an athlete? Can you be an athlete without being a selfish person? And the answer is probably no. You've got to take risks. You've got to be self-centered.
So,
and I haven't done that necessarily. Well, I've done the worst of both worlds. So I've put a lot of time in, but I've also tried to do other work, and I've tried to focus on doing lots of other things and going out and all that sort of thing. But I'm doing none of them very well. So I think if you're really going to commit and do something, particularly in the middle of training, so around 6 to 8 weeks out, you've got to be tight with yourself, because that's your key training period. So you've got to make sure the stretching is part of your schedule. Nate told me to do loads of calf raises. Guess who didn't do them? I didn't. Guess who had a calf injury? Me. Right? So there's lots of things. If someone tells you to do these things, they're important to do, and you've got to get on and do them. And actually, my training, I'm so committed to training, I'll get out there and I'll do it. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. But the extra things are really important. So that's the first thing I've learned is, in the key part of your training, you've got to stop. You've got to almost know what is.
Well, like you say, count the extra things as training.
Yeah, and actually, you've got to know what's the priority in your life. So, I've tried to have two priorities. I've tried to have, I want my work to go really well. I want to do the best thing for my wife who's having a baby. So, and I want a training to go well. And actually, you can't put that much focus and attention on three things at once. Do you know what I mean? So you've got to say, right, I'm going to try this marathon because it's going to be the last one, or this marathon is going to be focusing, is my focus point.
And then you can say, like, baby's not out yet, so that's fine. We'll wait until it pops out, and then I can worry about baby.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But obviously, it's my wife. She's going to have a baby soon. So that's even, I think the work for me, I shouldn't have been so stressed with work. And I think that's a failure on my part. But hey. And the other thing looking at your whole body, it kind of falls into that same line. So, like, looking at your whole body and everything you're doing affects how you are running. So, we talk about the work, but now we're talking about lifestyle. Your body, lifestyle. So, like, I think I stand over a computer. I work from home, so I don't have a chair, a specific chair. Like, you go to an office, you have a chair, and they make sure your screen is on the right level. I just work on a laptop, and I'm sort of bent over punched. Double. And I think it's made a big difference to me. I think that's the reason why I got injured, because my back was, like, she made me stand, my physio, she made me stand and said, look at how you're standing. You're like, I was pushing my, me crotch forward and arching me back, because that was just the way it felt comfortable. But it was really putting loads of stress on my calf. It was weird, man.
In my head, it sounds like Grinch. You know what the Grinch looks like?
Yeah, that was it. That was it. So I was standing like the Grinch, and that meant, like, I was putting stress on the calf just when I was standing. So I think you've got to think about how you are. Like, I remember we had Damien Hall on here a couple of weeks back, and he said when he did a lot of work with his physio, they talked a lot about how standing made a big difference to, or how he stood and how he cooked made a difference to the performance. Well, and I agree with it. I think I'm a perfect example of how you need to pay attention to your posture and posture, the way you sit and all that sort of thing. Not just in your running, but your whole life.
A good example is a mobile phone. A lot of people will put their phone and it'll be in their lap, and then they're hunched over, like their head's bent down looking at their phone.
Yeah.
So their head is always tilted downwards.
Yeah.
So obviously they get tight shoulder blades, and, you know, like bad upper back. Why don't they just bring their phone to their face?
Yeah.
And then you your head and your it'll be all straight.
Yeah.
People always leave it down and hunch over. Yeah. Just bring your phone up to your face, and then obviously then look at it that way.
Yeah. And it's funny, because I thought these things were stupid. Do you know what I mean? I thought, oh, don't worry about it. My back will be fine. And you do. You think it's such a small thing. But actually, if you want to run to your best, you've got to be standing properly. You've got to be sitting properly, because that's the way you are for most of the day. It makes a big difference to you. So I think that was something I think I've learned. The other thing is if you haven't listened to the Renee McGregor podcast, I recommend you go and check that out. It's about diet and about thinking a lot about how your week is scheduled to give you the best possible chance at your workouts. So she talked about carbo loading for me on Wednesday, Thursday, a boring day on Friday, so nothing, no, not too much fiber to cause me distress, not too much dairy. And then on the Saturday, I'd be fueled and ready to go on a Saturday morning. And then how I'd structure then the Saturday afternoon and the Sunday to make sure I was totally ready to go. And I didn't really think about it before. I had a good diet, but I didn't think about how to structure the week. And the other interesting point she said was about how people practice their fueling in race quite a lot. So you'll buy loads of different gels, test out what works for you, etc. But you don't practice how you're going to eat in the days before to make sure that helps. Because that's important.
That's a good idea. Yeah. I didn't think about that. That's good. Yeah.
So that was a really good lesson for me. And I think in terms of this training, I think what's been good is thinking marathon training isn't about, well, there's so many ways to skin a cat. Do you know what I mean? You can do so many ways to train for something and prepare for a race or whatever. And I think with this training that I'm sort of learning from Nate and what we're, this Canova style, is with marathons, what's important is the specificity.
Specific?
Yeah. So sessions become the most important. Who cares what your weekly mileage is? If, it doesn't matter if you're doing 100, 140, 70 miles a week. What's important
Even if I'm doing 10 mile a week, I'll be all right.
Yeah, sure. If you're doing a good marathon session every week, yeah. Well, maybe not like that, but you need a good base. But also, your focus should be not on doing sessions on the track, not on doing, you know, all these
quality over quality quantity. Stuff.
Yeah, quality, yeah. Marathon quality. Yeah. So it's about each set. The session is the important thing, not the overall mileage. And you can fail. You can get it wrong. It doesn't matter. I've been looking at all these results over the weekend. There's lots of half marathons out there people have done. And I've been thinking, oh, God, I failed on two workouts this weekend. But actually, who cares? Who cares? This doesn't matter. They're doing different things. They're training at different, you know, they're going for different races. What matters is I'm ready for Frankfurt. And that's the important thing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I think I've really learned. And hopefully, if I can get another 2 weeks of good training, I think I'm going to get back on it and then be with a chance of low 220. Who knows if I'll get underneath, but I've got a chance, which is nice, which is good.
Okay. But hey. Well, you know, I'm going to keep hassling you.
Keep hassling. Yeah, keep telling me to do that core work. I'm doing it now. I'm doing my calf raises. I'm going to go and do them. It's my rest day today, so I'm going to go and do all those extra little things and make sure I'm ready to go. But hey, we had a good live show last week, didn't we?
Yeah, talking about a live show, yeah. So that was great.
Yeah,
it'd be good if we can get some feedback from the people that turned up.
Yeah, was it 1,000 people we had? I'm not very good at counting, but it was about 1,000.
More like a million. It was like at least half of London. Like people, the queues went back from Running Works all the way to Liverpool Street. You know what I'm saying?
They did.
They went all the way back.
Yeah, and we had like a bouncer there, one in, one out. It was amazing. And then what people don't understand was Jesus turned up, and he was there for a bit, and the Queen was there, and then we had a really lovely party afterwards. No, none of this happened, but it was really nice. It was a good interview.
Well, grateful for the people that turned up first. That was good.
Yeah, that was
so, really great. And it was quite good. It was good. Obviously, it was enjoyable.
Yeah, we had a nice
time. It was
funny. Yeah, it was funny. We did some bus stories, and hopefully we're going to
reenactments. We did reenactments. Yeah. Sean, the actor, he's going to get Oscar for that one.
Yeah. Being slapped by a couple of doors in the face. But if you weren't there, you don't know what we're talking about. But hopefully we'll have some more live shows soon where people can come along and join in. And although we didn't have the T-shirts there, we have got Let's Get Running T-shirts now. So I'm going to try and put those up online.
Elusive T-shirts have finally come.
They are alive and well. They have been printed and they are in the UK. So I've got a distributor to send those out. So what I will do is I'll put that up on my site and I'll try and put a link. If it's not up there today, I'll look out for the Instagram. I'll make a post and then the link will be in the bio, if that makes sense to people who look at Instagram, or it'll be on Twitter. But I will put a note up there so you can order a Let's Get Run T-shirt. And then if you do that, we'd like to see your photos. Get some photos of you out and about in your Let's Get Run T-shirt. If you get one on a bus, that's extra points. That's extra points. And we'll try and read out the people we see and all that sort of thing on if you tag us in at Let's Get Running.
Talk about read out. Have we got any Reviews.
Yes. Yes, we have got a review. We've got a lovely review.
I'm ready.
I haven't even read this yet, so here we go. It's from Anthony700. So I'm assuming Anthony is some kind of robot. So like he's version 700 of the Anthony robot.
Like that's a good thinking. I like that.
Yeah, like C3PO or something. Anthony700. I wonder what Anthony699 was like. But I prefer Anthony700. So Anthony says, great for the novice and experienced runner. Thanks, Anthony. That's his title. And he says, lots of running tips and very sound and sincere advice on technique, nutrition and physical health from some of the great guests on this podcast. I am a new subscriber, so I have lots of catching up to do. I listened to one of the latest shows and the audio quality gets better too. Loving it. Definitely 5 stars. And he actually puts 5 stars in the review as well as recording us as 5 stars. So thanks, Anthony.
That's good. We need that. We need that on 5 stars.
We need that love. So yeah, that's really good. So thanks, Anthony. I hope Anthony 701 doesn't come around and supersede you soon. But hey, excellent. But you better get back to your to work, and we'll...
Yeah, I've got five minutes to run down the road and get the bus. So messages are gonna be graphic.
So on the 108, don't get in the way of the 108 today, guys. Domain's going to be taking some corners.
This first trip might be the express. All right, I've got to go.
Bye-bye. See ya.
All right, see ya. Bye-bye.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.